Welcome to BS with CSR. My name is Blake Mishmore. I'm the bull. I guess that makes Shane Shoemaker the...
Hey, you know what, Blake? I'm not even going to be funny on, you know, this episode. I'm just going to say I'm sad. You know, after watching Raw and watching Daniel Bryan's retirement, I'm just sad. That's my S word for you this week.
Well, first thing, you're never funny.
Well, that's debatable, but go ahead.
Not debatable. Second thing is, you know, I'm a little sad too, but more often, you know, more than that, like Daniel Bryan told us, we need to just be grateful. But let's get into Daniel Bryan because we got a lot to talk about because Daniel Bryan is gone.
I have gotten to do what I love for nearly 16 years. I am grateful.
When the news broke on Monday afternoon, I wanted it to be a work so bad. I wanted it to be an elaborate way to bring Daniel Bryan back to TV, even if it was just for one more match at WrestleMania. Shane, it wasn't a work. We've seen the last of Daniel Bryan, at least in a wrestling capacity. He gave an emotional speech. What do you think about it?
I thought it was great, man. He hit on about everything that he could. I mean, you know, again, I had the laugh out loud moment where he talked about Brie, you know, saying how she liked the yes, or she said yes, yes, yes all the time too. I mean, I literally laughed out loud at that. I mean, that, and I mean, dude, I didn't, but I almost cried because he was so emotional, and it made me emotional, and seeing him there just closing his eyes, just taking it all in, and just you know, it was nice to see that, you know, in a way, even though it got away from him too soon, that the business kind of gave back to him a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. It was emotional. I think for me, I mean, I loved hearing him talk about all the things he loved and all that stuff. I think for me, his perspective just in general was so awesome to see. I mean, here's a guy that honestly, it'd be real easy for the guy to be incredibly bitter right now. You know, he said it on Raw. He's never loved anything more in his life than wrestling. And it's been taken away from him. But he's, you know, I'm sure he has bitter moments off screen, but he doesn't – it didn't come off like he's bitter. He's accepted it. He is – you know, he kept using the word grateful last night. You know, Daniel Bryan got to live his dream for 16 years. And not only did he get to live it, but he got to the pinnacle of his dream and the highest you can possibly go. And that's something that most of us aren't ever going to be able to do. We're not ever going to, you know – we're not ever going to get to our dream job or our dream profession and get to the top of it. I mean, as much as we strive, as much as we try, it's not going to happen. And, like, for me, I walked away from last night, you know, thinking I need to be more grateful for the things I have in life and for the chances I've been given and the stuff I've been able to do, because you could wind up like Daniel. You could want, you know, whatever it is you're doing, somebody may say, hey, you can't do this anymore. And it may not be 16 years. It may be 16 minutes. But we all need to be a little more grateful in life. And that's what that was for me. I mean, as a wrestling fan, I think it sucks. I mean, I wrote about it in my latest column on CSRWrestling.com. Daniel's a lot of the reason why I, you know, kind of came back to wrestling, because I started watching again when he really broke out. But – like, I'm so happy for the guy because he has such a great perspective on life. And I think whatever he does next, he's going to be just as big as of a success in.
Yeah. I'm just saying his acceptance was, I mean, amazing considering the profession. I mean, you know, because you look at the Hulk Hogan's, you look at the Terry Funk's, you look at the Ric Flair's, those guys, I mean, can barely move. And in their age, they just don't want to give it up. And then you got someone like, you know, Daniel Bryan, who could wrestle circles around them probably when he was 60 or when he gets 60. And, you know, he's accepted it for what it is. And he's still holding a smile on his face. You know, he's kind of, you know, they said Shawn Michaels lost his smile. Well, Daniel Bryan has never lost his smile, not once. I mean, not once has this guy lost his smile through everything. I mean, I'm sure there's been tough days for him trying to accept this whole thing, but the guy has just took it in stride and has been, to my knowledge, and just looking at him, has been even keeled through this whole thing.
Now, you mentioned, you know, a guy like Ric Flair, guys like Terry Funk, guys that have such a hard time of walking away from the business. That brings me to my next question or next topic. Do you think we will ever see Daniel in a wrestling ring again in a wrestling capacity? Because a lot of people still speculate that this is just a retirement from the WWE. He in a year or whatever, he may show up somewhere in Ring of Honor or New Japan. Even our own Justin LaBar said today on his show, that he doesn't know that he's done. I didn't get that feeling last night. I got the feeling of a guy that is done and knows that he can't do this anymore if he wants to make sure that he is in has a healthy life and can be successful in something else and can be, a father that's around for his kids and all that stuff. I walked away with the feeling that Daniel Bryan will never wrestle again. Did you, Shane?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was for, it was for a couple lines. You mentioned him, being around for his kids and his wife. And, a lot of people talk about how wrestling is, fake and it's all story. Well, to me, last night was all real. I mean, you couldn't get more real than what last night was. It was, full of emotion like we talked about. And plus when he said, my brain is not as okay as they thought it was. That's a huge line. And to me, I don't know how anyone could consciously sign him after that. I mean, but I can't see him. Honestly, I think for me, I would be disappointed if he did. To me, you can't say anything like that. Like my brain's not okay, or I'm, want to have kids and love my wife and make sure I'm around and healthy enough for them. Yet to me, you just can't do that. There's other roles for Daniel Bryan to have in WWE or somewhere else in the wrestling business where he can, give himself to.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now let's transition into favorite Daniel Bryan moments. I'm going to be real honest. I'm a self-proclaimed WWE snob, but now that we've been doing this job for the last better part of the last year, I've watched a lot of other wrestling promotions, but I didn't know who Daniel Bryan was before he got to the WWE. And so when I think of favorite Daniel Bryan memories, it's all WWE stuff. Now, all mine are related to the road to WrestleMania 30, and I want to take some time to talk about WrestleMania 30 because you and I were both there in person. But, Shane, is there anything for you that stands out as like a big Daniel Bryan memory outside of WrestleMania 30?
My actual first memory of him is I saw him in Houston at a Ring of Honor show for WrestleMania 25. But he didn't really do a lot, though. That show was so packed that, he was kind of – it was a slower-paced match. I don't know if he was hurt or not, but I was like, this is the guy that everybody's talking about. But obviously we see what he did after that. But besides that, in WWE-wise, I actually loved his run seeing him as a heel with AJ and all that, him bringing all that out. I mean, I actually thought he was a fantastic heel. I mean, he did things that I didn't think he really could do that well, and he nailed it.
For me, like I said, for me, it all relates to the not just WrestleMania 30, but the run to WrestleMania 30. He mentioned in his speech the night that the WWE Universe completely hijacked Raw. And I don't want to talk in depth about that moment, but the thing that stands out to me about that night is how much he was eating it up and just standing in the middle of the ring with a big shit-eating grin on his face, just like, yeah. Here are these people, suck it. I should be the one in the main event, but I'm not. Suck it. Listen to these people. And then, one of the other ones is the night he broke away from the Wyatt family. I kept it on my TV for a long time. You probably remember it. The transitioning, the normal yes chant, and then he went super slow with his fingers, and that crowd of 15, 20,000 people, however many were there that night, were following him in unison perfectly. It was such a freaking awesome moment.
Yeah, he was one of those that was like, you know, just for even this, the little things he did, he could have a crowd in the palm of his hand at nothing. And, you know, that just shows how important he really was.
And the final one before we get to WrestleMania 30 was Occupy Raw. I mean, you know, Occupy this, Occupy that. Seeing that play out in the wrestling ring and all those people in the ring and, you know, Triple H and Stephanie played that perfectly. I mean, the WrestleMania 30 was magical, but the run to WrestleMania 30 was just as magical. And now, you know, WrestleMania 30, I mean, I think you would agree with me when I say that it was already awesome before this happened. I mean, you just said it. The guy had a wrestling audience in the palm of his hand. And I wrote about it in my column on our site. He had 70,000 people eating out of the palm of his hand that night. It didn't – whatever he did, they were right there. And it was one of the coolest – I mean, I said it for me. It's my favorite memory as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, it's definitely up there for me. I mean, you know, I've been to several WrestleManias, and, you know, there's a couple things that stick out to me. Michaels and Undertaker at 25 was one of the best matches I've ever seen, but – as far as, you know, just the moments that you just can't forget and just, you know, you talk about, you know, just the feeling in New Orleans was different that day. I mean, all day. I mean, that whole weekend. I mean, there's just something looming. I mean, it just, the whole business just seemed different. I mean, everybody was excited for once. No one really thought, like, you know, complaining about too much. It was just, and it was all about Daniel Bryan. You know, it was all about him. I mean, and literally from start to finish of that show, basically. And he just, I mean, he literally took it over. I mean, that's I've got to agree with you. That's probably one of my favorite memories. And that WrestleMania now is ranking up even farther now. And his moment, it may have surpassed the streak in a way.
And when I say it's my favorite memory, I'm not, you know, comparing it to Hulk Hogan joining the NWO or anything like that. I'm not saying it's the best moment. It's my favorite memory because I was there in person.
Right.
Dead. The energy in New Orleans was different. I was in California last year. Nothing compared to New Orleans. You would walk down Bourbon Street on Friday night before WrestleMania, and people would be doing the freaking yes chant. I mean, it was just a different energy. And the thing I remember most is at the end, you know, I was right there doing the yes chant with everybody else. And then I just stopped and just watched the arena and watched 70,000 people for, you know, whatever, 5-6 minutes, because he did it for forever, doing that yes chant. And it, I don't think it's something you're ever going to see in a WWE arena again or in an avenue, because I don't know. I mean, never say never, but I don't know that you're ever going to see anybody come along and capture the crowd the way this guy did.
No, he was he's almost getting to that point of – Was he the last cool face? Was he the last face that really was like everyone was behind? I mean, in the day and age that we're in, where, you know, everyone, you know, if WWE's trying to build a star and a baby face, it's not going to happen. You know, they can't get it done. I mean, Roman Reigns can't get it done. I mean, there's potential for Dean Ambrose, but I mean, Daniel Bryan may have been that last one who really gets the kind of reaction that WWE wants, even though they didn't want it initially. He may be the last one for a while.
I think he is, and it's sad to see him go, but I'm glad the guy's getting out now. I'm glad he's getting out with his health, and I think the last thing to say is what trended on Twitter last night, which is, thank you, Daniel Bryan. You are now tuned in. All right, Shane, we're going to do things a little differently tonight. Usually – We pick one topic. We talked about the main event in depth last week, so let's just do a little quick hits. I gotta be honest. The rest of our CSR boys seem to like Ryback's new gear. I don't. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know what the motivation is, but I'm kind of scared. Is Ryback about to get pushed again?
Well, I mean, that's probably the case. I mean, he's obviously a Vince McMahon guy. He's stacked. I mean, you know, he's big as a house. I mean, why wouldn't he be a Vince McMahon guy where he just keeps on pushing? I mean, you know, we see this with Roman Reigns for the past, you know, however long. So, I mean, why not Ryback? Why not keep doing this with him? Like, honestly, I haven't cared about Ryback really ever.
Roman Reigns and Ryback is Ryback sucks.
Yes, he's not good in the ring. He's not entertaining. I mean, I know he has fans chanting "Feed me more," but I mean, after that, that's about it, wouldn't you say?
That's what I'd say. But like, we keep hearing rumors that WWE wants to bring Goldberg back. Is this gear change possibly something to do with that? Are we going to see Goldberg like come back and take on Ryback because Ryback's trying to look like him or something?
Maybe. I mean, but honestly, I mean, does really anybody want to see that? I mean, think about how bad of a match that would really be. I mean, two guys, I mean, obviously Ryback's better than Goldberg, I think, in-ring wise, but I see that being a major botch fest.
I can't imagine that Goldberg would come back to work Ryback unless Vince is willing to give him like $10
million. Yeah, because he's a money hog. I'm like you, I don't even see that happening. And so to me, this ring gear change is almost just saying, yeah, he's Ryberg, so accept it. Yeah.
Speaking of Ryberg, let's move on from Ryberg, and let's talk for a second about the Dudley Boys. You know, the Dudley Boys have kind of been the jobber boys the last couple of months, but turned heel on Raw, kind of interested, kind of makes me want to watch the Dudley Boys again.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see that they finally still exist, and I was kind of wondering when they did the whole thing backstage. I was like, are they possibly maybe turning on them tonight? And sure enough, they did. It's just the Dudley Boys are the best when they're heels. There's just no doubt about that. I mean, you know, go back and look at their stuff in ECW and even the stuff earlier in WWE. That's when the Dudley Boys are best, and that's when, honestly, they can probably get people over now.
Shane, make me understand why Kevin Owens is losing to Dolph Ziggler all of a sudden.
No, I mean, why? I don't know.
Make me understand, because I don't understand.
No, I mean, again, I'm kind of wondering, you know, when you see stuff like this, and I'm not trying to be one of the, you know, the keyboard warriors here, but
are you going to tell me that Kevin Owens is getting buried again?
No, I'm not saying he's getting buried, but I mean, again, is this just leading to, I mean, you got to build this guy up for WrestleMania. I mean, I'm not saying he's got to be, you know, pushed to the moon, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, hopefully this is leading somewhere. I'm just confused, but at this point, I don't know.
At this point, I mean, you know, granted, after Fastlane, it could change. I don't feel like this guy's getting a significant WrestleMania match this year. Is he going to be on the card? Yes, but he's not going to be in a major match.
Yeah.
Now, I can't even say it without laughing. I was going to say some people that could be in a major match in WrestleMania is the freaking Social Outcast, but let's be kidding. They're probably not even going to be on the card. But I will say this. Whatever, make fun of me. I kind of dig the Social Outcast. They make me laugh every week.
They make me laugh too, and I'm actually going to say I think they are on WrestleMania. I absolutely think they're on WrestleMania. I don't know what they're going to be doing. They may just be in the Andre the Giant Memorial or Battle Royal. I have no idea, but they're going to be there because they need some kind of comedy, and that's exactly what they are.
And I like Adam Rose, dude. I don't know why, but this rabid mongoose or ridiculous mongoose, whatever the hell he tried to call himself. I like Adam Rose. I've always been an Adam Rose fan, though. I liked him when he was doing the Exotic Express, but I don't know. There's something about him. I kind of dig what they're doing.
He's so stupid, he's funny. I mean, that's the only way to put it. He's so stupid, he's funny. That, I mean, and it's working for me.
And finally, I'm disappointed that Mark Henry's not the newest member of New Day.
Who cares? I mean, I haven't cared about Mark Henry in years. I mean,
yeah, I agree. But when he started dancing with New Day, I thought it would have been perfect.
No.
Join New Day. Can you imagine big ass Mark Henry in a bright pink and blue singlet? It would have been awesome.
No, there's nothing awesome. There hasn't been anything awesome about Mark Henry since he impregnated Mae Young, maybe, and that's a stretch. Mark Henry sucks. It's over.
So you didn't like Mark Henry dancing with the New Day at all?
No, I every time Mark Henry gets on my screen, I'm just like, oh, well, I guess I should probably fast forward. I mean, if it wasn't for the New Day, I would have totally fast forward through that.
You know what? You're a moron. You pissed me off. Now I want to do BS of the Week.
Oh, I'm out of snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. No drinks for me, thanks. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Okay. Shane successfully pissed me off because he pissed on one of the bright spots on one of the biggest bright spots on Raw Monday night. So it's time for BS of the week. And you know what? I guess it's TNA that's in my crosshairs again, because really, you really let Awesome Kong go over this little fight backstage that we don't know what really happened. And let's be real, the only reason Awesome Kong got fired is because it was Matt Hardy's wife. If it wasn't Matt Hardy's wife, we probably wouldn't have heard anything about this. Awesome Kong, you know, I'm sorry, this is not a fireable offense. This is ridiculous. And if WWE is smart, they will bring back Karma or whatever the balls her name was back then and stick it to TNA one more time.
I mean, you nailed it there. I mean, it's just because it's Matt Hardy. So he is their top guy right now, which, I mean, however you want to think about that. I don't think he's bad or anything. I'm just saying. But I think Dixie and all them just folded on this. I mean, they're like, oh, I mean, they don't think things through at all. I mean, it's a total joke. Everything about TNA, we do this every week. In fact, I mean, we're just going to start renaming this segment of yours just TNA BS with Blake. I mean, because you do it every week. It's fine, and it's because it is BS every week. It's terrible.
What did TNA do to piss me off this week, maybe?
Oh, yeah, something like that, because, they're always doing – it's every single week. It's just unbelievable.
It is true. They are in my crosshairs just about.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to come after you next.
All right. Well, we know you're bothering me. We know TNA's bothering me. What pissed you off this week?
Well, it's, you know, I know Road Dogg, you know, he's one of the top guys there as far as creative-wise backstage. And, you know, he's always going back and forth with fans. Well, you know, also he went back and forth with this one guy on Twitter. And, you know, it was when Kevin Owens lost again. I think this was on SmackDown. And he said, you know, loses again. And Road Dogg responded, well, wins and losses don't matter. Which is a complete joke. I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm not in it, but wins and losses matter in wrestling. I mean, I know it's predetermined, it's scripted, whatever, but wins and losses are huge. I mean, wins and losses, even in movies, it's significant. You know, Rocky, go to that. It was significant when he won or lost. It mattered. So don't tell me wins or losses don't matter. I mean, ask The Shield. The Shield didn't lose forever, and look how, you know, to the top of their game they got. Ask Goldberg. Ask any of those guys. Wins and losses absolutely 100% do matter in wrestling.
I don't know that I completely agree with that. I think you can get a character over in a way where losses don't matter. I mean, I think, you know, Bray Wyatt loses every major match he's in. Yeah, we bitch about it, but Bray Wyatt's still one of the top guys in WWE right now.
Yeah, but he almost seems insignificant at points. I mean, it just, you know, the 50-50 booking that they do now is just, it's just stupid. I mean, it doesn't make a bit of sense. I mean, again, like I said, go back to movies. It matters when people, like, get over, get wins in movies, like, you know, like Rocky and things like that. I don't understand the reason. Again, I mean, do you think The Shield would have got over as much if they hadn't have won as much as they did?
Maybe not as soon, but yes, because those guys are all – big time talents. They're not, you know, Heath Slater or Bo Dallas. These guys are all, I mean, look at The Shield. Look at where they are. They are arguably, outside of older guys, you know, they are probably, even with the older guys, they're three of the top five or six guys in the company right now. That's not because they won a bunch of matches. That's because they're talent. So to a certain degree, I would say, depending on the talent, now a guy like Ryback, or a guy, you know, that's limited, like, say, Braun Strowman or somebody like that, that you want to make look legitimate, wins and losses matter. But if you have a true big-time player like a Kevin Owens or a Seth Rollins or a Roman Reigns, I'm not sure that they matter as much as you think they do.
I mean, I know what you're saying. But, I mean, like, you know, again, because it's predetermined, like, a guy can get over with his talent and his – moveset, but I mean, like, I just imagine, like, even Neville, you know, because Neville loses all the time. I'm not saying Neville has to go on, like, an 80-win win streak, but if he had a significant push, I mean, he's probably going to win a lot. So to me, getting pushed is at least getting at least significant wins. Maybe is what I should have labeled that better. Significant wins matter.
Yeah, I would say that's more accurate. Significant wins matter. Wins and losses. Okay, look at Shawn Michaels, for example. Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania. Dude, he lost most of his WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
Triple H, same thing. So the amount of wins don't matter. It's what kind of wins you get is more important.
Yeah. Well, at least we can agree on that.
Well, you know, sometimes I got to teach you lessons here on this show. I mean, sometimes I got to take you to school.
You're literally the worst person I know.
Well, on that note, since Shane's now called me the worst person he knows, I can't think of a better way to just end the show this week. So follow Shane at SShoemaker24. Follow me at Blake Mitchmore. Make sure you're checking out CSRWrestling.com. Jimmy Cordero's doing blogs. Check out our blogs. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you next week.
This public service message was brought to you by your friends from D-Generation X, who would like to remind each and every one of you that if you're not down with that, we've got two words.